Internet at WDEO.net.
Very good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. Thanks for being with me. We've got another hour to talk about the things that matter most. We have a pleasure this hour of visiting with a longtime friend and colleague of mine, Teresa Tomeo. She has, I remember Teresa before she was involved in Christian media. And I'll tell you, I've been waiting for years to see if she'd tell her story. She's told her story, but she hasn't put it into print in any lengthy way. Well, thankfully, there will be, shortly, a published version of Teresa's testimony experience. It's a story of her upbringing, her ambitions, her career, the way she was seduced by the established media, and it's something you're going to lay your hands on as soon as you get the opportunity. It's called Newsflash, My Surprising Journey from Secular Anchor to Media Evangelist. And you can detect through it this golden thread of Jesus wooing her from the time of her girlhood up to the present day, where she's now has this outstanding media apostolate. So Teresa's going to be with me. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about her career. We're going to talk about some particular media stories, too. Most Americans now finally acquiescing in the fact of divorce, saying that it's morally acceptable. We'll take a look at the battle over beats and melodies when it comes to pop music. We'll also take a look at the view that cohabitation has now become just standard. I remember it was common enough when I was in high school in the 1960s, but there was still a stigma attached to it. You did it, but if you did it, you were considered really outside the mainstream. Well, unfortunately, it has become mainstream and scarcely thought about. We're going to talk about all those stories. And, of course, we'll take your calls at 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. But first, to the news headline.
Thank you, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, August 27th, the Feast of St. Monica. Delegates to the Democratic National Convention will formally vote today to make Barack Obama the official Democratic presidential nominee. Obama's name will be entered into nomination along with that of Senator Hillary Clinton. Delegate Kelly Jacobs has already cast her vote for Clinton at the convention.
I'm one of the 630 delegates who got a notarized letter signed in time and presented demanding, through the rules, that Hillary's name be nominated so that we could vote for her.
How the roll call vote will unfold is uncertain. While some delegates will cast votes for Clinton, in the end, Obama is expected to be chosen as the nominee. Just minutes ago, Senator Clinton released her Democratic Convention delegates to Obama. Abortion opponents said it was the world's largest protest sign. Neighbors said it was an eyesore. And Jefferson County, Colorado deputies said it was illegal and ordered it gone. On North Table Mountain near Golden, Colorado yesterday morning, American Right to Life Action used 2,400 bedsheets to spell out "Destroys Unborn Children" with DNC in capital letters referring to the Democratic National Convention. It was visible from downtown Denver and dominated the mountainside.
I'm just really upset they did that, and it's my neighborhood, and I just really don't like that on the side of my mountain.
I think it's graffiti any way you look at it, and it's in poor taste, and it's a lousy thing to do.
Right to Life Action said the message was 530 feet tall and 666 feet wide, big enough to qualify for the Guinness Book of Records. Jeffco deputies made the 66 protesters take down their handiwork, but decided not to waste time arresting or ticketing any of them. Organizers say the giant banner dramatized Democratic support for abortions that have taken 54 million lives over the past 30 years. An oil well explosion near Bristow, Oklahoma has killed one person and injured two others. The well was being capped when it ignited. Three vehicles were destroyed in the fire. The area is located between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. At least 22 people have been killed by Tropical Storm Gustav, which is now moving away from Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Torrential rains triggered floods and mudslides. Forecasters warn Gustav could strengthen into a dangerous hurricane and threaten the Gulf of Mexico and possibly New Orleans. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal vows to cancel his appearance at the next week's Republican National Convention if Gustav wreaks havoc on his state.
I'm going to make sure I'm here personally to help lead the preparation efforts and, if necessary, any recovery efforts that are necessary after the fact. As long as our state is in harm's way, I'll be here in Louisiana. My first obligation, my first responsibility is for the state of Louisiana.
Gustav could gain enough strength to again become a hurricane. Jindal says almost 3 years to the date of Hurricane Katrina, Louisiana is better prepared than ever for a storm of that magnitude. However, he wants citizens to be prepared for the possibility of evacuations that could begin this weekend. Vice President Dick Cheney is blasting Russia for its military intervention in Georgia. He called it an unjustified assault and pledged to protect Georgia's territorial integrity as a free and independent nation. Cheney made his comments before a veterans gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. Next week, he'll travel to the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. Cheney's remarks follow Russia's recognition of two breakaway regions of Georgia as independent states yesterday. He promised the people of Georgia they could count on the United States for friendship during the crisis. The U.S. military will hand over control of security in the Anbar province next week to the Iraqis. An agreement was signed on Tuesday to complete the transfer. It was originally scheduled to happen in late June, but was delayed twice. And now for your fascinating fact for the day. A rhinoceros's horn is made of compacted hair. Filling in for Nick Tom, I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News. Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
What is true religion? When someone's called very religious, what comes to your mind? The scribes and Pharisees were very religious in Jesus' day, but he fights them and corrects them because they got it wrong. What is true religion? What God wants is love, mercy, kindness, and humility. Jesus has 8 beatitudes or blessings for those with true religion. He also has 8 stinging criticisms for the scribes and Pharisees whose religion was false. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, right judgment, mercy, and fidelity. These you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guide, you strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bone and every kind of filth. On the outside you appear righteous, but on the inside you're filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. These harsh criticisms were designed to stop the Pharisees leading people astray. What God is looking for is practical love, sincerity, and kindness. True religion comes from a sincere and honest heart. So turn to the Lord then and ask Him to convert your heart. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive. Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta, and joining me right now, Teresa Tomeo. You know Teresa from her speaking, her writing, and I hope daily from hearing her on Catholic Connection, produced by Ave Maria Radio and distributed through EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Teresa has had over 20 years reporting in the Detroit radio and TV market, has served as a radio news director, television reporter, anchor woman. She's a professional speaker, media consultant, and broadcast journalist, author of a book that I'm still excited about, Noise, How Our Media-Saturated Culture Dominates Lives and Dismantles Families, and another book, it's forthcoming, called Newsflash, My Surprising Journey from Secular Anchor to Media Evangelist. And Teresa, it's great to have you. Thanks.
Thanks, Al. How are you?
I'm great. I think that the book is great. I read it through in one sitting, literally. Of course, I've only got one leg, so I never... But my point was that I read it online, so I kept going through, you know, I just tapping my finger on the keypad, and I went right through it, and it was really a very moving book. Very
well, thanks. And I'm so grateful to you because you're writing the foreword for it and you've endorsed it. And you know a lot of my story. And I also know you're extremely well read. So that was quite a compliment when you wrote me right back and said you loved it. So thanks.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about you were raised Catholic.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Born into the faith. Yeah.
And you were enthusiastic about the faith, too, as a girl.
I was. I went to a really good Catholic school. It's still my parish, St. Joan of Arc in suburban Detroit, in a beautiful community called St. Clair Shores, Michigan. Had great instruction. We were taught by the Sisters of St. Joseph and wonderful education, and they were very on fire for the faith and taught us really well in the basics. And something connected with me, Al, when I made my first Holy Communion. I didn't have a problem understanding the Eucharist. I mean, I guess I didn't have a head knowledge at that age, but in my heart I said, okay, I knew that Jesus was real. And that eventually, as you find out in the book, is one of the reasons that I remained Catholic, was because of the Eucharist. But I also had a very strong pull from the world at a very early age, because the nuns were also very good at recognizing talents and gifts, and because I had the gift of gab, they noticed that at a young age and would also call upon me to read out loud, and I had my very first taste of stardom.
Tell that story.
Oh, this is great.
That's one reason I love the book, is because I know what it's like to have these kind of moments that imprint themselves upon you and are signs of future destiny. And this is a great story. Go ahead.
It's so funny because it was years ago, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was invited to be part of the Christmas pageant, and the school back then, it's still quite large. They have about between 800 and 1,000 students. I think maybe we had 600-700 back then. And so I had to read a little part of a Christmas poem. And I got up there, and this was in the third grade again, and I was so excited. The curtains opened. Wasn't nervous. It was like, oh, my gosh, my cousins. You know, I'm Italian, so I have like a gazillion relatives. And I could see all my cousins in the audience waving, and my sisters and my friends. And I wasn't nervous. I was excited. I went right up to the microphone and just nailed my lines. Christmas is a tree with lights all aglow. Christmas is a candy cane with fresh and glistening snow. Thank you. Thank you very much. Try to feel I'm here all week. It was just one of those moments where you just knew that there was something going on. I didn't, you know, and gradually, as I got older, you know, went through grade school, the teachers were excellent. I had some late teachers and recognized an ability to write. And so by the time I was in eighth grade, I knew that I was going to go into broadcast journalism. Mm-hmm. I combined the two. And then from then on, it was just, you know, full speed ahead. I went to a public school, public high school in suburban Detroit, worked on the newspaper, won forensics awards. Applied for my college by the time I was a sophomore in high school, because I was investigating at a very young age which college would be the best. And Central Michigan is still one of the top journalism schools in the country, so went there. And the rest, as they say, is just history. Three internships in college and awards, and then moving right along to a professional career for 20 years in Detroit.
Tell me about the gradual drifting away from an enthusiastic faith to a pro forma faith to the place where, you know, it didn't make much difference to you anymore.
Well, I think it was probably starting with grade school after I got really interested in communications, because that pull of the world always asking me to speak publicly and read out loud, and I started to investigate journalism. And then when I got into high school, even though I was still going to Mass with my family on a regular basis, I was getting more and more into the secular world. You know, because back then, Al, in the 60s and 70s, our parents raised us Catholic, but the primary education was really left up to the schools. The parents thought that's what you do. You send your kids to Catholic school, and you give a good example at home, and everything's going to be fine. Well, the pull of the world back back then in the early 70s was just too strong for me. And so I gradually was pulled away and just started to do more of a routine thing with Mass while I was still home in high school going to Mass with my folks on the weekends. But, you know, back then we didn't have Life Team. We didn't have all these great, you know, pro-life student groups or all these wonderful resources that we have now. And so I was very much into my career and buying into the, you know, I can bring home the bacon fried up in a pan and I am woman, hear me roar type thing. And
well,
so
How young were you? How young were you then?
I mean, when I started to pull away, I think emotionally and spiritually, that would have been in my high school years. I mean, I was still going to Mass when I came home, you know, because I was living at home. But then once I got to college, I stopped.
You were already clear, though, on what you wanted to do in high school. By eighth grade.
I knew I wanted to go into broadcast journalism. Yeah. I mean, I was already a fan of, God help me, Barbara Walters back then. Mm-hmm. And also Liz Trotta and a couple of the other women in broadcasting.
Yeah, Liz Trotta is outstanding.
Yeah, she's still with, now she's with Fox News.
Yeah,
right?
Talk to her.
Barbara Walters, that's a whole other show. We'll talk about that later.
Are they going to ask you to be on The View?
I'd like to do a Catholic View for women myself. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah,
I don't think Joy Behar could handle me on The View. She and I would, because she's a fallen away Catholic, and she and I would, I think, have a little bit of a problem getting along.
What did you enjoy most about the work of journalism, the research, the writing, the delivery, the investigation? What did you like best?
I think it was all the above. I think it also was my interest in just finding out what made people and what made things tick. I was always very nosy as a kid, and my sister still teased me to this day that I couldn't keep a secret, you know, and that's what Dominic said he's going to put on my tombstone, that and I can't be quiet. But I think it was the fact that I would be the first to find something out, and then also the fact that you could really help someone when you do journalism correctly, when you do it properly. It really is a public service. So I think all the things you mentioned, plus the fact that the surprise element that I was the first to be in on this particular story or this particular secret about something.
Pope John XXIII had, if I remember correctly now, he was the pope who, where you had derived this teaching on the role of media. Is that right?
Well, there is a couple of things that I looked at now after being, you know, back in the Catholic Church. I think probably more influential on me was John Paul II.
Oh, okay.
There was a quote that I found in college, and I still have it here on my desk, and it was actually in a journalism magazine that I subscribed to when I was majoring in journalism at Central Michigan. And it's talking about something worthy of your best years. If your reporting does not always command the attention you would desire, or if it does not always conclude with the success that you would wish, do not grow discouraged. Be faithful to the truth and to its transmission. For truth endures, truth will not go away, truth will not pass or change. And that to me was so motivational. But at the time I thought, this is great, the Pope gets it, he gets what journalism is about. But at the same time, here I am in college, this is in 1977-78, you know, so John Paul II had just started his pontificate, and I thought, oh, isn't he cool? But that didn't pay any attention to where it was coming from, with the exception that he was the Pope. I didn't follow up and say, well, if he said something great about this, maybe he has a lot of other good things to say. I just kept going on my path of seeking out, you know, this career in secular media and leaving the church behind.
You always kept that quote, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it meant a lot to me. And then now that I'm doing what I'm doing, it means so much more because, you know, we're supposed to be serving the public interest and putting truth out there. But it, to me, in the secular media and the research I've done, both in the news media and the entertainment media, as you know from my first book, it's anything but that anymore. It really is about agenda and making money.
When did you begin to feel as though the public wasn't being served by the prestige media that you were involved in?
I think it started when I got back on the air. As I talk about in my book, I was fired from a major job, which really led to my literal come to Jesus moment. And I was standing there on the unemployment line, which I talk about in the book, which is probably one of my most humiliating moments.
It's really very moving too. I remember reading it and feeling for you,
because
you're in television news. Everybody knows your
face.
Everybody knew
I was.
You can't hide.
Yeah. And so I think when I got back on the air, and I went back on the air about 6 months later and was hired by a prominent network affiliate here in Detroit, and, you know, everything was going great for a couple of years. You know, I was back in the faith. I was back on the air. You know, my husband and I were healing our marriage. I'm thinking, okay, this is it. My suffering, my deposits have been made in heaven. Now it's just going to be full sailing, full speed ahead. And then I started to notice a trend changing. This was in the mid-90s, and you recall that's when all those investigations started to be, being revealed, for example, with the school shootings and whatnot. The federal government started looking into connections between violence in the media and the marketing of violent entertainment
right.
to children.
Right.
Started to see a lot about shock jocks, in radio. The If It Bleeds, It Leads format seemed to be, taking over. And it was like and the media bias was getting really extremely prominent mm-hmm. back then, mm-hmm. too. And I started to notice all these things that were there before, but I didn't see them because I was so blinded by my own ambition and desires. And I started to recognize all this stuff, and I'm thinking, what in the heck is going on? Here I am. God puts me back on this big station, and I'm covering the Oklahoma City bombing, and I'm covering the Pope in New York, in 95, and I'm doing all this stuff.
Yeah, I remember.
And at the same time, I'm getting all of these different messages, as I call it in the book, interrupted feedback. And each chapter is another news definition or news slogan that I walk people through how it applied to my life and how it can apply to theirs. But that's really when it started to really reveal itself in terms of the problems, and God really started to speak to me at my heart about I need to do something. It was tough, though, because I didn't know what was going on. Here I am thinking I'm going to be this. I thought I always tell people when I give my testimony, I thought I was going to die on a live shot somewhere, covering a snowstorm on the west side of Detroit, because that's what I did. I didn't know how to do anything else.
Yeah.
I've been reporting since I was 14. That was my first radio job in high school.
Yeah, and that was when you thought... That was it. That was your future.
Yeah.
Those are the tracks that had been laid down. You were going to continue on those tracks to the very end.
Yeah.
Let's just pause for a minute, though. Tell me about meeting Dominic.
Well, this is where I should have really gotten the clue that God was so in charge and I so was not, because I was, never going to get married. I was going to be this independent woman. I didn't want to be dependent on a man, mm-hmm. It was going to be, all about me. And so I graduate. A week after I graduate, my brother-in-law introduces me to Dominic at a company picnic baseball game. And I took one look at him, and I knew. I said, this is trouble. And then my first date, my mother has a great angle on this story. My mother, my family is originally from New Jersey, even though we live in Michigan now, of course. She saw Dominic walking up the driveway the first time to pick me up, and she looked at my father, and she said, "That's it. She's done. She's married. Trust me. I swear that's it. It's over. She's getting married." 6 months later, we were engaged.
Oh, that's great.
And what I loved about him was that he wasn't threatened by my ambitions. And mm-hmm. he said that one of the things that attracted him to me was the fact that I was so interested in the world and politics, and that I was very aggressive in my own right, and that I was intelligent. So he was very supportive of me. A lot of the guys that I dated in college were very threatened by my career ambitions.
T, hold it there. We'll come back on the other side and continue the conversation. Teresa Tomeo is my guest, and the book, soon to be released, called Newsflash, My Surprising Journey from Secular Anchor to Media Evangelist. And Teresa has a great story to tell. I think that this story will, in fact, provide hope to so many women who have bought into the contradictory and impossible promises of the world. We have more coming up.
Have you ever thought, how does the abortion clinic in your city find the money to stay open? The answer is you. In fact, most mutual funds, 401ks, and other investments held by investors like you actually support businesses like the abortion industry, pornography, and same-sex lifestyle. Which means right now, there's a very good chance you are helping to keep the doors of abortion clinics in Metro Detroit open. Call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services at 1-800-529-9434. Jim and Stacy can show you exactly what your investments are currently supporting and then offer morally directed options that don't require you to sacrifice performance. Find out where your money is going. Call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services today at 1-800-529-9434. That's 1-800-529-9434, or go to morallydirected.com.
Securities offered through Next Financial Group, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Faith Investment Services is not an affiliate of Next Financial Group, Inc.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and I've enjoyed broadcasting from the town of Ave Maria, home of Ave Maria University in Southwest Florida. It's a unique community, organized around a beautifully designed oratory and Italian-style piazza. The town not only houses the university, but there's a Catholic elementary school, local businesses, a water park, world-class golf courses, a tennis club, and, of course, a wide range of homes available for purchase. The university is a source of concerts and lectures, art shows and student performances, a virtual cornucopia of Catholic culture, excellent for families or singles. But seeing is believing. I'd like you to take a virtual tour of the town by going to AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. And imagine it as a home for your children or a haven for your retirement. Enjoy the sights at AveMariaRadio.net, and while there, register. There's absolutely no obligation, and you'll discover countless opportunities at the town of Ave Maria. Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for being with me. Newsflash, my surprising journey from secular anchor to media evangelist. Forthcoming book by Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and media veteran, over 20 years experience in Detroit radio and TV. The book can be pre-ordered, though, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have such a deal for you today. I'm so glad you asked. Actually, we do have free shipping and handling right now if you order before September 1st, you don't have to pay for shipping and handling. I think that's a saving of about $2 to $3. So you can go either to my website at teresatomeo.com or to the publisher's website, which is bezalelbooks.com. But if you can't remember any of that, it's just on my webpage. And I know we have it also on AveMariaRadio.net, but
right.
teresatomeo.com as well. And, yeah, free
okay.
shipping and handling.
Free shipping and handling. And that that does count for usually cost me about $4.
Yeah.
You know, when I order a book from Amazon or, you know.
Right. Well, we had one woman, I understand, I spoke with my publisher, Cheryl, today, who ordered six for her Bible study group because she wants to do it as like a women's Bible study, which is why we put the reflections in the back of the book. It was Cheryl's idea to put the reflection questions on each chapter so people could talk about it and discuss it. And I also have a lot of scriptural references and a lot of catechism quotes. Well, that's my thing, though, because I, for so long, was so ignorant, with the exception of those few good years I had in Catholic school, you know, of the education. I didn't know a lot at all about my faith. And you know, I fell away in a big way. And I always say I'm the poster child for everything that's wrong with the culture. You know, I'm not trying to be judgmental in this book. I'm just trying to say, look, this is what happened to me. My life when I left the church and fell away from God, and my life now, and giving people references and resources to understand what's going on.
Well, I think, again, the story is really one for our times. I think the hurt of so many will be healed through your story, because they'll see a pattern of Christ's redemptive work. And I think this will also help many women, and men too, but women in particular, avoid making many of the mistakes that you made.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, if I'm trying to do here, Alice, to make sure that men and women, but as you said, women especially, are not taking their cues from the culture, but are taking them from the church. And I know that you and I are going to discuss some of the big stories that are out there right now. And every time we turn around, we see examples of people that are wounded by not paying attention to what the church teaches. Christopher West, I have this great quote in my book. You know, Dominic and I just went to his Theology of the Body Institute, and one of the things that he said that just struck me, and I talk about in the book, and I wanted to just yell while he was teaching, preach it, brother, because it was so true. It was my life. He said, the truth of church teaching is proved in the wounds of those who reject it. And that's me. I rejected it, and I fell into some really very dangerous patterns. And it almost cost me my marriage and, more importantly, my soul. And so I'm speaking from the heart here of what happens when you get sucked into what the culture says is acceptable and it's just fine and it's all about me and it's about the money and it's about the success. And I even talk about a very, very painful experience I had when I came back from Rome and a former very close friend of mine committed suicide.
That stops time.
Yeah.
And it's... She was what you wanted to become.
Well, she and I worked together in TV news, and I don't use her real name in the book.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I just wanted to, and it's not, I could have very easily because she was a public figure in Detroit, and so legally we're allowed, you know, to do that.
Right.
But I just thought, you know, I just don't want to, I want to respect her and let her rest in peace and her family rest in peace. But beautiful young journalist and Catholic. We were both Italian-American, raised in similar upbringings, and we worked together very closely for several years. And, you know, everything on the outside looked great in her life, but then things started to fall apart. Her marriage fell apart. She ended up getting divorced, and then one thing happened after the next. And I'll leave people to buy the book to find out all the details about it. But I came home from Rome, and it was 2 weeks after the Rome Congress that I attended, Mulieris Dignitatum. And here I was in my head. All these things are coming up, you know, about the beauty of church teaching and the anthropology and the unique design of male and female and what's so special about being a woman and how the church upholds womanhood and doesn't attack it or bring it down. And I'm driving around in the car thinking about all this, And then I hear in the news, and there's a news flash, and that's what this chapter is called, that comes over the air that says that this woman had committed suicide.
Mm.
And it literally, I mean, I was sitting in the car banging on the steering wheel screaming, no, no, no. And I got home that day and I heard from, I don't know how many of my friends that I still keep in contact with in the secular media about this. And that's when I realized God had been working on me, especially since Rome, to get my testimony down on paper. And I know you have been after me to do it. And then I heard the Lord say, okay, it's time. You have, because this was such a direct, to me, example of the culture. You know?
It's a terribly competitive, backbiting world, isn't it?
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brutal. You know, and if you've got kids who are going into journalism, I say we need more Christians. That's great. I would not discourage them, but I would also tell parents to make sure kids are very strong in their faith and that they have a very thick skin because, you know, if you remember that old movie that came out many years ago, Network News?
Yeah.
That was very realistic, but you want to multiply it by 10, especially if you're going into a TV newsroom, you know, about a quarter to five in the evening. You know, you've got tapes being thrown at you. I mean, you've got, you know, the language is horrendous, the stress, the pressure. And that's just the daily grind of putting the news out. You combine that with the backbiting competitiveness, you know, just to get ahead in the business and how all-consuming it is, and it's a very, very tough industry to go into and survive in.
Our number is 1-877-573-7825. Glad to have you join us. Teresa Tomeo, my guest, talking about her surprising journey from secular anchor to media evangelist. The story is being told in Newsflash. It's available. In fact, you can pre-order it today and receive free shipping and handling. You can do that by going to AveMariaRadio.net. You can do it by going to TeresaTomeo.com. And your publisher's website, what is
that? Yes, it's Bezalel Books, and Bezalel means in the shadow of God. Mm-hmm. BezalelBooks.com, and it's BEZALEL, BezalelBooks.com. And there's a link, on, as I said, to both to that website and our website, mine and yours.
The format of the book is instructive in and of itself because it lifts the curtain on some of the terms and practices that go on in newsrooms and in media generally. Tell people about it.
That really was something that came to me from the Holy Spirit because I was thinking, okay, how am I going to structure this book? Because when I was giving my testimony prior to actually sitting down and writing this book, I have several scripture verses, which I do incorporate in the text, but I would go according to these various scripture verses that I think describe the various periods of my life. But I was thinking about the name, and I came up with the name Newsflash, and then I was thinking about, you know, the five W's and the H, which is a standard thing that journalists learn, you know, in J school. I was thinking about
who, what, where, when, how.
Right, exactly. I was thinking of the meaning of newsflash, and that it was actually this newsflash about my friend that I worked with in TV news in Detroit that compelled me to actually go home and sit down and start writing the book. And then I thought about, well, newsflashes, you know, these are these urgent bulletins that are broadcast, you know, either on radio or TV and are very bold and very abrupt, and they get our attention. And this newsflash got my attention not just from the news angle, but just in my own life's journey. And I thought, well, gosh, all these other things that have happened to me, turning points in my life, that can be a newsflash. That could be a newsflash for you or for me or for anyone. You know, we can look at these things in those terms. And the five W's and the H, I describe, you know, what are the questions of who, what, where, why, and how in your own life?
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, what are you learning about yourself? You know, what are you putting together? What are your sources? How are you doing this developing, bringing this developing story of your life together? Because all of our lives, you know, it's a developing story.
I'm a strong believer that we're telling ourselves a narrative all along, and the key to the Christian life is to bring that narrative in line with God's narrative for you.
Yeah. And the interrupted feedback, or IFB, that's the earpiece that you see sometimes in a storm or, you know, in a live breaking news story with a reporter holding his or her hand against your ear. What they're doing is they're trying to make sure they can hear the director or the anchor speaking to them. And for me, the interrupted feedback started to come when I got back on the air at the major network affiliate, and I started hearing all these quote-unquote different cues from master control being God telling me about all the problems with the media, and I yanked the IFB out of my ears so often because I just didn't want to hear what was coming from Master Control. And reporters will do that. If you've noticed, if they're in a breaking news situation, and if you're just arriving to a scene, and if your signal is not that clear, if there's a lot of static on the line, if you can't hear properly, if things aren't coming through clearly enough, they will literally, or if the director is giving them different cues than what the executive producer told them before they arrived on the scene, then the reporter, as a signal to the control room, will take the earpiece very gently, or sometimes not so gently, out of the air to basically tell the director to be quiet because they're going to continue with their own story, which in essence is what I was doing. Even after I came back to the church and started to heal my marriage, I was like, well, no, God, you can't. You cannot possibly mean for me to leave the secular media. That just isn't what you have in mind. I must be not hearing you correctly, and I would just yank that out so often.
What kind of strain did it put on your marriage?
Well, I think that the biggest thing was the time constraints, because when you're a reporter, it's much like being a doctor. You are on call 24/7, and you're always only as good as your last story. And for me, when I made the transition over to television from radio, which was a pretty big jump, doing that in a major market the size of Detroit, you don't want to say no to any assignment,
right?
Because then you're not, quote-unquote, the team player, and there's going to be someone younger and prettier and just even more aggressive than you to take your place. And so I would, anytime they would ask me to work a holiday or a weekend, anytime they would work, ask me to you know, cover, let's say, a breaking news story, I was there. And so the strain, first of all, was a time strain because we weren't having enough time together as husband and wife. And then the other strain was just that I put my job first. I totally put my job first in front of every other relationship in my life. Mm-hmm. So I think those were the two biggest things.
Yeah. Dominic, very patient.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the only man canonized before he dies for putting up with me for for so long. Very patient, but at the same time, he will tell you when we give our marriage testimony that if it weren't for God coming back into our life the way God did, which was just so amazing, God works in very mysterious ways, and actually it was comical the way he came back into our life at a Pistons basketball game of all places.
Right, right.
But, you know, the year and a half that Dominic had in that Bible study and getting back into the Catholic Church and really praying and looking at himself, that prepared his heart for what was about to happen in our marriage, because we separated briefly. And you know, people tell me, well, how long did it take to straighten out your marriage life? Yeah, a few months. And I said, try several years.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like to hear that because right. they want to think that I got back into the church, we had some counseling, and that everything was coming up roses. It's hard work. You know, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I tell people is the reason we survived is because we just did not quit. We just kept day after day bringing it to God. When we finally made the decision to stay together and not divorce, I mean, I was the one, I walked out. I literally packed my bags and left. Mm-hmm. And it got worse when he got back into the church. Not better right away.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this is, again, the book is filled with this kind of realism. Your emphasis on ongoing conversion, you know, this doesn't, you know, God's there. He can break through at any moment. But it doesn't mean that just believe and everything is going to be fine.
All right, and I think we hear too much of that in the world. And,
yeah.
And this whole idea of redemptive suffering, well, you never hear that from the world. And I think the Catholic Church has done such a beautiful job of explaining what that means. But even Catholics don't want to hear that.
Right.
They want quick solutions. And, you know, we even have in our own family where we have a Dominic's youngest brother is going through a very painful situation when his wife didn't want counseling. No, it's not going to work. I'm just going to walk away. And people say, well, you know, I'm just going to do that. It's easier. And yet in the long run, that's much worse. You know, on a family, we know what the statistics show about divorce. And so my whole emphasis on this is that the pain can be very, and is very, redemptive if you allow God to work in that process. And even if you're fighting it, because I fought it for a long time when I first, you know, was rediscovering myself and reinventing myself. But looking back now, those were the periods where God really said, okay, this is what you have to do. And I really got a glimpse of the fact that God's plan is the best plan. You know, regardless of what we think is our plan for our lives.
My guest is Teresa Tomeo. Our topic, well, God's guidance leading in her life, and a tremendous story told in Newsflash. Now, here's the phone number. We're going to take a few calls. 1-877-573-7825. Feel free to ask any questions about the media, Teresa's experience in life. She's very transparent. 1-877-573-7825. You know, maybe you want to understand something about the way the television news works. What schools are worth sending your kids to?
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
This Saturday and Sunday at the Michigan Renaissance Festival, kick up your heels with traditional Scottish music and the annual Highland Games. Come witness the U.S. Canadian International Highland Heavy Games, the Bagpipe Blowout, and the Sheep Toss. Plus, this weekend, be sure to stroll through the Celtic Village.
The 30th annual Michigan Renaissance Festival in Holly. Take exit 106 off I-75 and follow the signs. For information, hours, ticket prices, and directions, go online to MichRenFest.com. The Michigan Renaissance Festival,
where the legend becomes you.
From real estate to plumbing, from pet care to dentistry, Catholic business professionals are finding increased business when advertising with the Catholic Business Pages. For more information about advertising or to get your free copy, go to CatholicBusinessPages.com or call 734-930-4536. Get better results when you advertise. CatholicBusinessPages.com is brought to you this week by R.J. Nixon Funeral Home. Pre-planning. It could be one of the greatest gifts you will give your family. Advanced Funeral Planning offers you the opportunity to make sure your wishes are carried out. You relieve your family from making difficult decisions while under stress. They're a trusted funeral service provider, family-owned, and serving the Downriver community with care and compassion. Call them today, R.J. Nixon Funeral Home, at 734-284-1600. That's 734-284-1600. CatholicBusinessPages.com, your best choice.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. With me is veteran media correspondent Teresa Tomeo, author of Newsflash. It's the story of her surprising journey from secular anchor to media evangelist. And let's go to your calls right now, beginning with Gary in San Francisco.
What sort of future does Catholic radio view have for someone that is thinking of entering it? And three, I am actually thinking of producing movies, if you will, on a religious basis. I can think of one in particular, Dear and Glorious Physician, Taylor Caldwell,
yeah.
The one,
yeah.
Story of St. Luke. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's just, God, I can't believe it hasn't been made. But what are your thoughts on this?
Great questions. I think number one, in terms of the future for godly people in journalism, I think there is always plenty of opportunity in the business. I think the business continues to change in terms of maybe on-air positions, as you know, Gary, because of the competition that's out there. There may be fewer on-air positions, but I don't tell people to leave the secular media or not go into it. I was called out of it, and I struggled with that, and Al knows this, and for years I thought, gosh, I hope I'm not copping out by leaving, but God called me out for a very specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I still go around and talk to even my own alma mater, Central Michigan University, and tell kids to go in. We need good, solid, especially Christians, but just good, solid journalists in the business, and you have to be strong, and it's going to be tough. I'm not going to sit there and say it's going to be a cakewalk, but you should be able to go in, and it shouldn't be about going in and just pushing a Christian agenda. What it should be about is going in and doing your job as a journalist, being balanced. Because if we go in and push only our side of the story, then we're just being as bad as the liberals. What we have to have is balance in the news, and there should be at least an attempt at objectivity. Unfortunately, as much as I would have loved to when I was covering the life issues after I came back to the church, just have the pro-life story on, that's not accurate because there is another issue out there, and you have to present both sides of the story when you're a secular journalist. So it should be about balance and fairness and accuracy. And I think there's a future. I just think you have to be realistic and understand that you're going to be challenged continually. In terms of, you said, the future of Catholic radio, Al, I mean, you want to chime in here? I think it looks great. I mean, we just got another email today from EWTN about another new affiliate in California. It keeps growing.
Yeah. Over the last 10 years, it's been amazing to see what's happened. Financially, it remains, what can I say? It remains a work in progress. Nobody goes into Catholic media to become rich, and I think that's probably going to be the way. I think it's going to be that way for a long time to come, and may always be that way, because the Catholic radio has to be Catholic in order to justify its existence. It's not going to justify its existence by entertainment. It's not going to justify its existence because the world is going to immediately embrace it. It has to justify its existence by being faithful. And, you know, as there are more faithful Catholics in America, I think Catholic radio will do better and better. But it's we're still pushing the boulder up the hill.
Mm-hmm. But I think, Gary, your last question had pertained to someone like yourself with secular media background, you know, a future for you. The more people we have with secular media background working in Christian media, whether it be Catholic or Protestant, I say amen, because people like me and Al and Jerry Usher and Tom Price and John Pepe at EWTN and Doug Keck, all of us have secular media backgrounds or professional media backgrounds, and those talents are so badly needed in the Catholic community, the Catholic media, and we see all kinds of people doing that, taking, you know, their love for journalism, for communications, and applying it to Catholic apostolates, which I think is one of the reasons why it's growing so much, is because we're bringing all these people together and there's just this explosion. So if you're interested, I think you should, I mean, you're in California, contact Immaculate Heart Radio. I mean, I'm sure, you know, to talk to Doug Sherman and the guys out there. And in terms of Hollywood, there's great things going on. Barbara Nicolosi is working very hard to make a difference in Hollywood and started a group called Act One. And if you want information, I'm sure Al or myself or Al's producer Nick can send you those details. But please, if you still feel a passion to work, all that experience, come join us. We'd love to have you on board.
Gary, I'm going to put you on hold. Nick will pick it up and give you the information. Let's go to, let's see, Kate in Covington, Kentucky. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just barely caught you guys, so I know very little of what you've been talking about, but I did catch something about Teresa's marriage and having to spend years working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, well, a friend of mine and I have an acquaintance, and we were in a group. It was actually called Teams of Our Lady, and it's a group of married couples, and they support one another, and they're precisely in their vocation to marriage. I've since moved away, but been in contact with a friend who has told me that this other friend of ours and her husband have separated. And just a note on their background, I mean, this is two people who are very involved in their faith, working in the church, doing a number of things. They have two small children. His job is demanding a great amount from him, and I think it's demanding more loyalty to his job than it is. His wife, I don't know all the particulars, but she is in a point of despair, and I'm wondering, because I know we have, my friend and I that are trying to help her, we have theology degrees. You know, we sort of know the theology of it. I kind of need the psychology. I need the interface between the theology and the suffering friend.
Yeah.
Having been there, how do you say, no, you can't just quit even though it hurts?
Well, I think the book would be a great comfort to her because, you know, it was, you know, in that perspective, in terms of the separation, you get a little bit of what Dominic went through and what I went through also. But I think just the encouragement to hang on. And we did separate briefly, Dominic and I, and we even came very close to, you know, I at one point even went, you know, heaven forbid, there's another reason I ended up in confession so many times and still do, even went to talk to a divorce lawyer because I thought that, you know, I was too good for this situation. So I think the book would be very helpful for her.
Yeah.
And especially if she's strong in her faith in terms of active in the church, a lot of the references, I think, in the catechism will be. But I think the personal story is what's really important, and that's what I try to bring out, is that it's a very real situation, and I'm very honest and transparent about it. So I think it'd be very helpful, Kate. And I just think that if she has a strong faith, to keep looking at the cross and to remember that the greatest evil, you know, in the world, you know, the killing of Jesus was the greatest salvation, you know. And there is no, as Father Crappie always says, there is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And that if they can hang on and work through this with counseling, and especially because I'm sure it's interesting that the husband is so tied to his job, I think that if maybe even if he reads the book,
yeah,
it
sure
may help him.
I agree. I think it would be a very good story. And it can be. And another thing, too, is it can be read very quickly.
Yeah.
It moves along. The pacing is wonderful in it.
What's the title of the book, and how do you get a hold of
it? It's Newsflash, My Surprising Journey from Secular Anchor to Media Evangelist, Teresa Tomeo. And give the websites again, Teresa.
It's you can just go, Kate, to I'll give you the website for Ave Maria Radio, avemariaradio.net, or to my website directly, which is teresatomeo.com, and it's Teresa without an H, T-E-R-E-S-A. T-O-M-E-O, and my assistant Amy has put a link up there to the publisher, and you can order it right from there. And free shipping and handling if you order before September 1st.
Okay, and what if the husband is not terribly willing to let go of this job? His what if his priority is that? Like, in the meantime, what does his wife do?
Well, I'm not a counselor, and I don't know their specific situation, but of course, I think she needs to hang on. If she needs to, you know, maybe some space, that's fine, but I would not recommend, I'm not going to sit here and tell her what to do, but I certainly would say to hang on, because the Catholic Church has very, very specific reasons as why divorce is wrong. Of course, we know in the Catholic faith, but more often than not, it is not going to be good for the family. We know that just with statistics. But I would tell her, my advice would be not to give up, because in the end, if the husband can at least wake up to what's going on here, maybe by seeing my story, I'd be happy to talk to him even. If they maybe can go to a marriage encounter, go to a Retrovi, and that's the other thing. I give resources for marriage encounter and Retrovi in the book, which Dominic and I went through. Very, very important not to give up.
Kate, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Got a buddy of yours coming up here, Teresa.
Oh, yeah.
Ethel, how are you?
Hey. Al, how are you?
I'm fine.
Ethel, a.k.a. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. We nicknamed each other Lucy and Ethel after our experience in Rome because here we were, these two so-called, you know, very well-educated Catholic women just tripping all over ourselves, breaking cappuccino machines. I mean, it was just hysterical, so we nicknamed each other Lucy and Ethel. Hey, Ethel, how are you?
Hey, Lucy, I just want to call to say that, as you know, I read your book and very honored to read it. And I just really wanted to publicly applaud you for revealing your personal struggles and doing it just so that you can protect others and bring them to the Lord. So, yeah, I just want to applaud you for that, for your courage. And it's an amazing book, as you and Al were, explaining, and as you went through, I just think it's going to help so many people.
Yeah.
Very proud of you, Lucy.
Well, thanks, Ethel. Thanks for endorsing it, too. You're a doll.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. I won't take up your time. I just wanted to say it's just an amazing story, and to reveal your personal life in such an honest way, to just protect others and to bring them to the fullness of the faith is just incredible. And it's really not too many people are going to want to just reveal their personal lives in the way that you did. I just really applaud you for that.
Thanks, sweetheart.
And I love you.
I love you, too. But it's all God. It's all God.
It's all the grace of God. That's,
yeah.
God bless you, and let's pray that this book will bring, you know, so much help to so many people.
Thanks, sweetie.
Bye-bye, darling.
Bye-bye. Take care.
The number again is 1-877-573-7825, and my guest, Teresa Tomeo, will come back on the other side of the break and, again, tell you a little bit more about the book and where you can get your hands on it. Again, that's 1-877-573-7825. Newsflash, My Surprising Journey from Secular Anchor to Media Evangelist, Teresa Tomeo, the author. Again, very transparent story of her upbringing as a Catholic girl. And eventually the lure of the world as she sought the media spotlight and her promotion and career, and eventually her call back to Christ. Again, available at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, this is Nick Tom from Cresta in the Afternoon, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my recent experience with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. As first-time homebuyers, my wife and I were nervous and unsure going into the process, but it wasn't long before Ken had us really at ease. He took the time to become invested in us as people and really get to know our particular situation. Ken presented us with a number of different mortgage options that all addressed our needs in a particular way. By the time we made it to the closing table, we felt educated, secure, and confident that we had gotten the best product available. You see, at Fellowship Home Lending, there was no pressure, no attempt to bump us up over what we could afford. Just a staff that genuinely cared about what was best for us and delivered. So whether it's a first mortgage, refinance, debt consolidation, or home equity loan you need, call Ken at Fellowship Home Lending. Give him a call today, 1-800-660-6433. Once again, that's 800-660-6433. Fellowship Home Lending, where the motto, lend to your neighbor as yourself, is not just catchy words, but a way that they do business.
You now have two great Detroit area locations for religious merchandise. There's A. Mutea Church Supply in Garden City and now G.A. Fuchs Church Supply in Madison Heights. Between the two stores, they offer the largest selection of religious merchandise in southern Michigan, with everything from statuary, rosaries, and crucifixes to a large inventory of books. If you need it for your religious group or services, they have it. A. Mutea and G.A. Fuchs Church Supply. Just choose the location closest to you. You'll find A. Mutea Church Supply on Ford Road, just east of Merriman Road in Garden City. If you'd like to call for more information, the number is 734-513-2950. Write it down, 734-513-2950. If you're closer to Madison Heights, you can stop at G.A. Fuchs Church Supply on Stevenson Highway, just south of 14 Mile Road, off I-75. You can call them at 248-589-0200. You'll want to write that one down, too. 248-589-0200. They look forward to serving you.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Teresa Tomeo, my guest. Newsflash, my surprising journey from secular anchor to media evangelist, available now in pre-order, free shipping and handling. Let's go, though, to North Dakota. Tracy, nice to have you here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello?
You're on.
We're here.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't hear. Teresa, I have to say, your story is just so exciting to hear, and I was really glad that I wasn't the only kid growing up who had the reputation of being nosy and talking too much. It's comfort to know that people like us do grow up perfectly normal.
Well, I don't know if I'm perfectly normal, but I'm working on it.
I have two questions. One is there any hope of ever really getting both sides of the story out of the media at large? It seems like the conservative view is never really brought across, except like if you find something online or over like Catholic radio or other not mainline news sources. And also, if a person's interested in writing or being involved, sometimes you wonder, everything gets written, there's so much out there, why add to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that absolutely there is hope. There's always hope, first of all, because we have Jesus, and with God all things are possible. And also, I think we saw a lot of positive things happening with the secular media. And Al, I'm sure you might want to comment on this, with the papal visit to the U.S. Before he got here, before Holy Father arrived, it was, oh, he's the Rottweiler, oh, he's this, he's out of touch with Catholics. But once he came here and he was so direct with the media, especially in dealing with the priest abuse scandal, and he was so personable, the media really, I think, started to change their tone. And Catholics have been very good at getting really good Catholics like Al and others out there to talk about these issues in the secular media. There's this whole movement to push Catholics, good Orthodox Catholics, to be available to address stories like this and to get accuracy. So there's great examples, and definitely there's hope. And the second question was, if you have a passion for writing, absolutely. There are so many different outlets now that we have, great Catholic websites, and we're always looking for good people to contribute. Even if you're just going to, let's say, write for a secular paper and write maybe a column mm-hmm. or an editorial, absolutely. Those yeah. are great tools to get the word out.
Tracy, thanks for the call. We're just about out of time. Teresa, once again, how do people get a hold of Newsflash, my surprising journey from secular anchor to media evangelist, and why should they do it now?
Well, because they get free shipping and handling. If they order before September 1st, they can go to AveMariaRadio.net or my website, TeresaTomeo.com, Teresa without an H. And, of course, the publisher is BezalelBooks.com. Thanks, Al, so
Thanks,
much.
Teresa. Talk
God
to you
bless.
Tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
I'm Al Cresta. Thanks for being with me. And, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow for another hour talking about the things that matter most.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. Ask a happily married Catholic man or woman, and they'll likely tell you how vital it is to have a strong mutual faith life. It's the single largest component of a happy marriage. CatholicMatch.com is a tool to help you find who and what God wants for you. CatholicMatch.com is not simply a website. It's a real online community of Catholics who offer support and friendships. From that community, relationships and ultimately marriages are formed. Think about it this way. CatholicMatch.com brings God's people together by using technology for His ultimate purposes. Have faith in your search for a spouse. CatholicMatch.com, promo code AMR. CatholicMatch.com, the place where people grow in faith and fall in love. More information at CatholicMatch.com. Promo code AMR. CatholicMatch.com. Grow in faith. Fall in love.
Attention Catholic families. Mercy Funeral Home is now open to serve your family in Metro Detroit. We know how difficult the economy is, and we want to help serve Catholic families in need. Iman Newman is a funeral director with a heart for serving you in this most difficult time. Give her a call at 248-33-MERCY and learn about a complete funeral ceremony at your parish church with burial at a Catholic cemetery for only $3,500. Call Iman at 248-33-MERCY for compassionate service in your time of need.
If you had a choice, would you want to live till you're 80,